Hello, welcome back to Tulsa Beacon Weekend. I'm your host, Charlie Biggs, publisher of the Tulsa Beacon newspaper, Tulsa's famed newspaper. Joining me in studio is Paul Hesick, who is running for the Oklahoma Legislature, the House of Representatives, and District 79. Paul, great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I should explain to people that there is a primary on June 28th.
Correct.
You'll have a Republican primary. There are two other Republicans running. And I guess if, what happens if one person gets 50% plus one vote? Does it still go to a general election?
Well, at that point, it would go general, right? And you would not need a runoff. So 50% plus one vote is the...
Oh, that's right, because it's a primary.
It is a primary.
It would go to the general election against a Democrat.
Correct, yeah. Now, if we split such that everyone gets less than 50%, then it would go to a runoff of the
top
two.
Yeah, in August, right?
In August 23rd, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, and tell people about your background, Paul.
So I'm born and raised in Louisiana and grew up in procurial school all the way through and then went off to college, Georgia Tech, for my electrical engineering degree and then a master's.
That's a tough school, isn't it?
Georgia Tech was pretty challenging.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things that I've learned over time is every time you step up into another venue like this one right here, running for election, you find that you don't always understand exactly how hard it is, but once you get to working with other folks and understand where you are relative to other folks, it's not as bad as you think. So there is a lot of people involved in a lot of places. But at Georgia Tech, I walked in from a little school into a big college and found myself overwhelmed by the size, but not overwhelmed by what I could do relative to other people.
Yeah, and your profession is engineer, right?
Correct, yeah. I'm a professional engineer, right?
Yep. And you've worked on power grid, is that right?
Correct, yep. For the last 40 years. I retired a little over a year ago, but for 40 years I was involved in planning and engineering the power grid for Central and Southwest originally and eventually became American Electric Power.
You know, my wife and I drove up to South Dakota a couple of times, and we've driven through this on I-35 in northern Oklahoma, this gigantic wind farm. And it's really amazing how big this thing is. But one time coming back, we saw there was a blade broken off.
Oh.
Know? And I'm kind of wondering, wow, how does that happen, you know?
Right.
The power grid is really an interesting thing because if it were to go down, we'd be in real trouble, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Now, you saw what happened in Texas where they couldn't come up with enough generation. They started going through brownouts, and there were people dying in those situations.
Freezing to death, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So the grid has become a piece of infrastructure that if it's destroyed would actually damage the country in a very severe way.
Well, is Oklahoma independent, or are we tied to the network? I mean, is it, in other words, if everybody goes down, do we go down? Or if a few people go down, we go down? How does that work?
So the continental U.S. is split three ways. And there's the Republic of Texas has its own little grid, which is where I've spent most of my career. But in this part of the world, we are connected to the East Coast. And then there's a split right up the middle of the country. And there's a part that goes to the West Coast.
Okay.
So we are in the same group as New York City.
Really?
Yeah. Tied together, right? So, so there was a blackout, as you might recall, a couple of them in New York City,
right?
But they were stopped before they came down here, and it's because of the kind of work that I did, the kind of transmission facilities we put up, that we were able to stop it.
Well, it seems like that you have a detailed knowledge. It would be very helpful in some issues that would be involved, and particularly in certain committees involved in the legislature.
Yeah, I and having met many of legislators, I think my skill set is fairly unique, and my understanding of the energy market from the standpoint of electrical, you know, gas, coal, wind, solar, even nuclear exposure to all these issues and how they fit together is going to bring a lot of value to the legislature, which kind of speaks to the fact that, you know, I am here for the constituents, but I bring value which other legislators are going to appreciate. And that will in turn give me the ability to work with those legislators to bring the constituents' issues forward as a card to play to say, I can help you with these things if you can help me with other things. So yeah. I see it as a real advantage in the legislature.
So why did you decide to, I mean, you're mostly retired and you have a great family, you've got a great life. Why would you decide to get into politics?
Yeah, ultimately, I didn't feel like I had a choice. So like I said, retired a year ago. We currently have a incumbent for our district who's become ineffective. Her extreme policies have made her unable to move anything through the legislature. So Pamela and I recognize that. And so we got involved with the Republican Party and started knocking on doors. And after a while, it kind of dawned on us that that's not enough. If we're going to literally complain about the incumbent, we better be prepared to step up. And so we looked to see who was running and ultimately decided that my depth of experience and my conservative values would probably be the best way to shine a light on our incumbent by making a clear contrast. And so I almost didn't feel like I had a choice. It was the right time, right place to step in and try and make a difference.
Well, your Christian faith had a big part in your decision-making too, didn't it?
Oh, yes. No, I look at this as stepping through one door into the next, and every door is simply an opportunity that I believe God is opening for me to make the next step forward and move in the direction that ultimately serves his needs. I mean, we can do anything we want, but if it doesn't serve our Creator's needs, then we aren't achieving much.
Yeah, I live in District 79, and I'm amazed because I think of the people there as mostly conservative, and according to the Oklahoma Constitution newspaper ratings, our Democrat representative is one of the most liberal people in the whole legislature. So it just it's something I think needs to be fixed.
Yeah, no, I'm not quite sure she even represents Democrats anymore. She has gotten so extreme.
Yeah. Are you listening to Tulsa Beacon Weekend? I'm your host, Charlie Biggs, publisher of the Tulsa Beacon newspaper, Tulsa's family newspaper. And if you want to find out more about the new laws that are coming out toward the end of the session here for the legislature, we have a report on that in the Beacon this week. You can pick up a copy at Minute Stop at 131st Aspen and Broken Arrow, Wildbirds Unlimited at 61st Yale, the Kings Point Village Shopping Center, the Schneck Bar, the Tulsa County Courthouse downtown. But even better, you can subscribe by calling 918-523-4425. It's 918-523-4425. Or go online at TulsaBeacon.com. That's TulsaBeacon.com. We're talking to Paul Hasek, who is a candidate for the Republican nomination for House District 79 in South Tulsa. Paul, how can they contact you?
My website is my last name, HASSINKOK.com. And from there, you can get to any other information you need. So Hasink.
I'm sorry, could you run that by me one more time?
Sure. HASSINKOK.com. HASSINKOK.com.
Okay. We have a unique situation right now in Oklahoma because we've had this huge influx of federal dollars that they've been printing like crazy men. And so we have I think maybe as much as $2 billion in reserve now in the state treasury. And there's other parts of the government, like TSET, they have, I think, over $1 billion in their reserve fund. And we know in Oklahoma that we have ups and downs. You know, this may be an up, and next year may be real down because of inflation, because of stagflation, and all kinds of problems we could have next year. So how do you see the overall financial status of Oklahoma right now?
So it is an opportunity to populate the rainy day fund and so that we have that buffer we need in the future. So we can take regular state revenues and push them into the rainy day fund, use these funds coming in from the federal government to address the immediate needs as we have them. I can't speak to the specifics at this point. I'm not educated well enough to do that. But clearly, it'd be those funds have to be used wisely and allow those regular revenue funds to move to where we can use them in a future day.
Yeah, I know that they've given raises to prison workers, you know, corrections department workers. I guess the concern would be that you overextend your budget to where your annual budget would be burdened with a downfall, whereas you have one-time, you know, expenditures like certain roads and stuff might be the wiser route.
Yeah, we have an 8-year plan on the roads that would be an excellent place to place some of the money, assuming that's a legitimate way to do that. Now, then, as a businessman, I learned a long time ago, you've got to be very careful about what we called O&M, your operating expenses and your capital, and you need to split them in a way that makes sense. So if you start burdening your long-term O&M with additional expenses, then you may find yourself in a very awkward place. So sometimes it's much more important to place the money in those one-time investments that make a difference for the long-term, but don't require reoccurring fees.
The national liberal news media has been beating up Governor Stitt in Oklahoma for passing laws to restrict abortion. In fact, they've characterized it as the strongest, they call it anti-abortion bill. It's really pro-life bill, set of bills in the whole country. How do you see that turning out?
I got to watch that personally. So when Texas passed their law that allowed the civil law against the abortionists, the parking lot at the abortion clinic we pray at every Thursday filled up over to capacity. We were there a couple weeks ago after the Oklahoma version passed, and the parking lot was almost empty. So you can see the direct effect of that. But one of the things that people need to understand, when we're sitting there praying and we're watching these young ladies walk into the clinic, so many times there's a man in the driver's seat, and sometimes there's indications that these women are not doing this of their own choosing. So ultimately, the victim for this an abortion is more so the woman. You know, I'm a believer, so these innocent babies will have eternal life. But the women are destroyed by these things because sometimes they're abused. Actually, I would argue many times they're abused. Maybe not in a physical sense, but in the sense that they're being asked to kill their child in exchange for something that other people want from them. And that is a really sad situation. And if we can create a deterrent on those people that abuse women, then that would be a good thing, because they need to understand the consequences of their actions, and we need to make them own up to those consequences.
Well, I think it would be an act of God if the Supreme Court actually overturned Roe v. Wade. And as I understand it, there's 13 states, including Oklahoma, that would automatically ban abortion. And there's as many as 26 states that would quickly ban abortion. It's amazing to me, Paul, that U.S. Senate almost passed a bill that was said that an abortion is okay up until the moment of birth. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that's infanticide.
Yeah, it took a Democrat to wake up the rest of the Democrats to say, what you're asking for is not Roe v. Wade here. You're asking for the ability to kill children, even at the point of birth. So, that legislation was hideous. And it was, thank God, we had a Democrat that was willing to stand up against it.
And another assault from the left on pro-life movement is that, well, you guys want to force these women to have these kids, but you don't help them. And that's not true. It's never historically been true, has it?
Correct. Yeah. In fact, I took the time to put some resources on my website specifically that speak to the women and help them out. So if people want to see what kind of opportunities there are for these women to take care of their children going forward, please go to my website at hassinkok.com and go to the resources page. You'll see there are several local entities that are working very hard to take care of these women.
And it's very ironic that in our country, we have so many childless couples that would like to adopt a baby, and they go overseas because we have, you know, millions of babies that have been aborted.
It is. It's incredible to me how we have chosen to argue that it's better to destroy a life than to allow someone in to raise that human. It's not within my capability of understanding.
Yeah, and the left also is arguing that, well, when they get away with abortion, which overturning Roe v. Wade doesn't get away with abortion, it flips it back to the states.
Correct.
And they say, well, once they get that, they're going to take away contraception, which is, I don't know anybody advocating that right now.
Correct.
So it's a straw man, isn't it?
Oh, yes. There's always been lies out there. And Bernard Nathanson, who was one of the original founders of NARAL, became a pro-lifer at one point. He admitted that everything he said to create this abortion myth was a myth and that there was really no truth to it. And it seems to be going on as we speak. People would rather lie about the facts than to face the reality.
You're listening to Tulsa Beacon Weekend. I'm your host, Charlie Biggs, publisher of the Tulsa Beacon newspaper, Tulsa's family newspaper. And if you want to find out some more about the recent bills that have been passed in the latter parts of the legislative session, we have a report on that in the Beacon this week. You can pick up a copy at Minute Stop at 131st Aspen, Brooklyn Era, Wild Birds Unlimited at 61st and Yale, in the Kings Point Village Shopping Center, and the snack bar at the Tulsa County Courthouse downtown. But even better, you can subscribe. All you got to do is call 918-523-4425. It's 918-523-4425, or go online at TulsaBeacon.com. That's TulsaBeacon.com. And by the way, we have a big paper this week. It's 30 pages because John Fothergill, the Tulsa County treasurer, is running his delinquent tax list in us. And so last week we had a big paper. This week we had a really big paper. And then two more weeks of a big paper. So we bear with us. If you hate having all those pages that you're never going to read, go out to your garden, put them over the weeds, take care of them right away. You'll love us for it. But we're talking about Paul Hasek. And how can I contact you, Paul?
Once again, the website is hasinkok.com. And I'm also available on Facebook, Hasink for HD79. So you can see my activity via Facebook as well.
Well, Steve Kuhnschwaller, Tulsa County DA, just told us a few minutes ago that there's like 400,000 people in Oklahoma that have a medical marijuana license, which is outrageous. That if you took all of them and they bought marijuana in Oklahoma, they would only take up about 1.5% of the production of marijuana in Oklahoma, which obviously means that we have a huge black market. What do you think about the whole marijuana deal?
So what you described sounds like we got taken off guard when the petition was passed. And I'm aware that the legislature is working hard to come up with mechanisms to put regulation back into the growth of marijuana and how people are allowed to use it. I'm not familiar with the specifics right now, but clearly that was not the intent of the voters. The voters are not here to create Oklahoma as a means to produce marijuana for the rest of the country. And so we need to bring it back to where it belonged. And even there, we need to be very sure that people understand the consequences. When people voted, did they really understand the consequences of where we are today? I've heard descriptions of situations that clearly are criminal activities in places that actually put at risk farmers in the area. And so it has not gone well, and it's time to clean it up.
Well, it's against the law, state law, to sell marijuana outside the state or to sell it to people outside the state. And yet we have report after report about LLCs and people that have disguised their ownership, and they bought up a bunch of farm property, and they're growing these huge marijuana farms. And it's just not good for us, is it?
No, it has put us in a very dangerous position, because that kind of money has all sorts of control over what goes on in the state, and we need to make sure that illegitimate activities are stopped.
You know, the liberals, the woke, extreme people have taken over public education to a great extent. In fact, we've had problems at Stillwater schools with assigning special bathrooms for boys and girls that think they're another sex. We've had problems in at Bigsby. We've had, we've had people stand up on TV and say that a man can give birth to a baby. And they say that people can change their sex, which is not true, not scientifically true. And this is a problem, and it seems to be raging, don't you think?
Definitely. So I'm an engineer, which is a scientist of sorts, right? A practical scientist. And I look at what people are proposing as facts when in fact they're fiction and in fact very destructive. Because the more you try and evade what the science is really telling you about male and female and who is in a position to actually birth children is you're simply fooling yourself and putting yourself in a position that you're working against the creation. And there's an old expression, don't fool with Mother Nature. And it speaks so true today. There's so many people that want to fool with it. And it's so destructive too. I mean, here you are, people that are too young to make a good decision, but you're destroying their fertility. You're neutering them. And so we're treating young people like animals. Why would you take your child and neuter your child before that child has had a chance to fully understand what the consequences are, which are permanent? I mean, they can be forever for their life.
It leads to a lifetime of surgeries and medication,
yes,
which is unnecessary.
Right. So it's a sad day when we can't understand creation as it is and choose to make it something else.
Well, I know you have a great family, and this tragedy this week at Uvalde, Texas, it's horrible. I mean, there's nothing getting around it. You know, we live in a violent culture. But it bothers me that they pivot the loss of these children, these two teachers, pivot that to trying to ban firearms. You know, the first step to getting rid of guns altogether, kind of like Australia did, is to register and prohibit certain guns. And pretty soon after you register them, it could lead to confiscation. And you know, you think, well, that'll never happen in America. Well, it's happened in other countries. But it's a shame, isn't it, that they are blaming gun manufacturers for this crisis instead of the crazy person that actually did this.
Right. No, it's just humans that pull the trigger. So it's not the tool in their hand. In fact, that same tool is what they had to use to actually stop the individual. And so it's very important that
it could have been worse.
That's right. That people need to understand how to use weapons and use them in a defensive mode in these situations. It is very important that anyone who buys a gun fully understands the consequences of that and treats it for the respect they should. I mean, there's the energy in that gun is far out capable of a car. And so you drive a car in a very smart way, you would hold a gun in a very smart way. But that ability then gives you a position when things like this happen to fight back. It's the, if you pull away one side and not the other, because criminals will never give up the guns. Right. But if you pull away the legal guns, then we have no way to stop these criminals. And Ukraine showed us very quickly that the best defense against someone who was an offense is to populate the civilians so that they can be part of the protection.
We just have a few minutes left, but what are you hearing from people as you go door to door and are campaigning?
You know, the message I hear is that they want to find some common ground and move forward. And so our incumbent has gone very extreme, and they're very glad that someone's stepping up to say, let's find those issues that we do agree on and move forward. There'll be always things we don't agree on. And as long as we're talking, we'll continue to figure those out. But in the meantime, working in the legislature from an extreme side, as opposed to finding those things that we all want to see move forward, like protection against the illicit use of marijuana. I think we can all have a big benefit, and that is the clear message coming across: is that we need to start looking for that common ground and move forward.
Yeah, and I live in District 79, so I can say this, but to have a liberal Democrat in Oklahoma legislature that especially has some pretty wild ideas, you're really not going to get much done, are you?
No. Yeah, the speaker said that she has made no progress whatsoever as a result of her extreme position. So, it's time that our district has representation, because today they don't. And I would even argue, as I said before, even those people who are of the same party may find her record unacceptable if they take the time to look at it.
Well, we've been talking with Paul Hassink, who is a Republican running for the Republican nomination for House District 79 in South Tulsa. He'll be on the ballot. If you live in that district, by the way, there are some new district lines. You need to check where you're at. And you can go on the state election board website, and you can find out. You can get ballots now, by the way. So he'll be on the ballot, and how can they contact you?
Once again, HassinkOK.com. And in there, in my resources page, I have the link to the voter portal, so they can figure out where they belong. And also have a link to the voting records of any legislator. It points specifically to our incumbent, because I'm in that district, but you can look up everyone's voter record there as well.
Well, Paul, best wishes to you. God bless you, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much. God bless you, too.
And we'll see you next time on Tulsa Beacon Weekend.
So glad you could join us today for the Tulsa Beacon Weekend on AM 970 KCFO with your host, Charlie Biggs. Join us each Saturday for the Tulsa Beacon Weekend right here. KCFO, Tulsa.